upon a regular session after having two special sessions. Before we get to that, though, we're going to do a little preview on that front in just a minute. Jason DeQueer from Advantis Consulting joins us this morning. Jason, welcome back. You ready to roll for this session, man?
I'm ready, my friend. Good to be back on with you. A lot of things happening.
Yes, there are a lot of things happening. And actually, before we get into the upcoming special session, I mean, the upcoming, we're two special sessions in. I'm just going to get used to saying special. It's like saying San Diego Chargers. Before we get into the regular session, though, the governor's already got things rolling. He launched an executive order. He signed an executive order on stage last Thursday at, or was it Wednesday? No, it was last Wednesday at LABI's annual meeting. You were there. You had some news of your own there as well.
Yeah, well, obviously, I'm very involved with Lobby and have been for many a years. I know that organization also speaks with you frequently and advocates on behalf of business and trying to keep the free enterprise going here in Louisiana. But, the governor has kind of hit the ground running. And, there are many things that obviously have to be done with legislative action, but there are some things that he can do with the stroke of a pen, like an executive order. We know that in 2016, when the previous governor, John Bel Edwards, came in, he did the same. He wanted to change the IDEP program, and he did. And he put some new requirements on there. He put some new processes in there. And quite frankly, it has caused a lot of issues. There's not as much clarity in the program. It's kind of created a little bit of a stifling effect on what the rules are, particularly as you head down and try to get approvals from local governments. They weren't all on the same page. And, adding a jobs requirement to a program that was traditionally about capital investment. And then obviously, Governor Jeff Landry takes office. And as he's been going to events, he's been signing in orders and proclamations. And as you mentioned at the Lobby annual, he signed a new executive order for ITEP right there on the stage and kind of changed that kind of. It did change the process quite a bit.
So in changing that process, it streamlines the process, to be sure. And when you look at what other states do for their programs, man, we are so cumbersome here in Louisiana, Jason. This was a good move.
It really was. And, Brian, it did a couple of things. One, it removed the actual direct jobs requirement. Now, I know some people out there are like, oh, well, why would we not require these companies to create jobs? At the end of the day, Brian, if companies are investing millions and sometimes billions of capital in Louisiana, by default, jobs are going to be created. I mean, you have to build these facilities. You have to maintain these facilities. The real confusion here is, well, are we talking about direct jobs or indirect jobs? It doesn't matter. All jobs help create a vibrant economy and sustain those areas where those projects are happening. So the idea here is not to have this real cumbersome, complicated job requirement and just on the company itself, but let's look at the overall economic activity that these companies and their investment are bringing, and let's continue to compete for that investment with a program that's less cumbersome. So that's the first thing that did. Secondly, what really needed to happen now, he did not remove local input. Local
right.
governments still have a voice in this program. However, under the John Bel, previous governor's rules, companies had to go through three different local entities. And Brian, you can imagine some of the politics you have to deal with when you have to go through the school board. You then have to go through the council. Then you have to go through the sheriff. They may not all be on the same page. Sometimes they've communicated. Sometimes the rules are different in terms of approval between those organizations. I think the governor made a great move by creating one local ITEP committee comprised of each one of those entities, the school board, parish council or police jury, and the sheriff, so that when that company goes down there locally, they put on their case, they say what the investment is going to do for the community, and it just requires one vote. And then the last thing that he did to keep the process moving is that it gave local governments 45 days to basically act on whether or not they want to approve the project. That way it doesn't just sit down there in perpetuity. Companies will know where they stand and whether or not they should continue to move down the road or making that investment in Louisiana or a specific parish.
Now, the 45-day part of this is my favorite part of it, because it's like, we know how slowly government can move when government is allowed to move slowly. So I'm a big fan of saying, no, 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 let's keep things in gear, keep it moving. The local committee or whatever the phrasing is of it. So as I understood the governor, it was you have a local board, you have a statewide board, and then if those two are in opposition with one another, the governor is the arbiter here. The governor is the ultimate decider. I might be reading way too much into this, Jason, but I feel like if Governor Landry makes himself the decider on this, this revision of ITEP is a stopgap measure on the way to getting bigger things done, because there's no way he's going to say the governor in perpetuity is going to decide on these things, because I don't think, like, I know we're looking at 4 to 8 years before he would have to rethink that decision, but you don't want to make one person the end-all be-all forever. So I can't help but, like, my mind wanders to the idea that ITEP is just going to be a stopgap as we look at a new state constitution, as we look at revising our overall tax structure to get better reform across the board, to where things like this particular program aren't needed anymore because we cleaned up the rest of the house.
Yeah, well, look, I'll just start with your latter point, Brian. That's exactly right. And look, we know that the governor also had one of his transition councils was on constitutional amendments, i.e. constitutional convention. What can we do to kind of strike that balance between state and local government? You and I have talked about that numerous times on this show, and the fact that local governments are restricted in many respects. But at the same time, you know, if we're going to clean that up, then maybe the state isn't the piggy bank for everything locally. You know, that they can begin to do some things on their own, and that's how most states have their structure. And Louisiana needs to look at that model and potentially get there. And you're absolutely right. If we can get there, then we don't need some of these other measures out there, because we now have a system that's very inviting for all, that's very competitive, that's higher in terms of its business tax climate. And ultimately, big picture, that's where we need to go. In terms of the first part of your question, although Governor Jeff Landry was very explicit in his statement that he would be the ultimate decider, believe it or not, that's not a change. Okay, Governor John Bel Edwards had that same power. If you look at the ITEP and in the Constitution, the language in there is very broad, and it says the governor can do what's in the best interest of the state. Really? Okay, that's how Governor Edwards was able to create his own executive order. Nowhere in the language in the Constitution does it say ITEP will be an 80-20% split. Mm-hmm. The executive order was just the governor's interpretation at that time of what's in the best interest of the state. So the governor always has had the power to take those contracts and sign them in if they want to. Governor Landry was just very explicit that if you go down to the local ITEP committee and they say no, but the Board of Commerce, where you go first, has said yes, well, the state board, which is out there to try to promote economic opportunities for Louisiana, sees it different than local governments. And the governor then will take all of the testimony and all of the hearings and make a decision which he thinks is, quote, in the best interest of the state. And that's how that would be decided. Now, granted, Brian, we have the executive order right now. I've talked with LED. We will be doing, Vanis will be doing a webinar for those who are listening and want to tune in tomorrow. You can go to advantis.com and get the information. But we'll have the secretary on. They will still have to go through a rule promulgation process where the rules will then give all of the weedsy details in terms of the process and how the application would move forward ultimately into the governor's desk and signature if it's approved.
Okay. Wow, the way he sold that last Wednesday, I thought that was a major change. I didn't realize that was the way it had previously been. He made it sound like I'm jumping on this grenade and I'm going to be villain number one in the press.
No, the difference is you know, this just shows the difference between, you know, his philosophy and Governor John Bell's philosophy.
Yeah.
Governor Edwards basically said, and what people need to know, when it goes to local government, that's merely a recommendation. It's not the end-all, be-all. The Board of Commerce and the governor is what is prescribed in the state constitution. Those are the two entities that have the right to put their signature on the contract. So local government, when it goes there, is just a recommendation. Now, Governor John Bel Edwards says, I'm going to follow whatever local governments say. And so if they say no, then I am not going to sign that contract in. If he wanted to, though, he could grab it and still put his signature on there because the Board of Commerce and Industry had approved it, and it only takes those two signatures. Well, as Jeff Landry has said differently, that, hey, if we have a conflict between the two entities, I'm going to evaluate it, and ultimately I'll try to decide what's in the best interest of the state.
We've got Jason DeQueer with Advantis Consulting on with us. We will have him, it'll be next Friday, but then once the session kicks off, it'll be every Thursday at 7:15 during the regular session. All right, Jason, talking about the regular session coming up, the governor's transition teams have been doing a lot of work behind the scenes. What are we going to see play out early in the session?
Yeah, well, look, from a tax standpoint, we're going into what's called a non-fiscal session. It's the longer sessions, but you can't introduce any kind of item that would levy a new tax, increase an existing tax. And thirdly, most important, you cannot legislate with respect to exemptions, deductions, exclusions, those types of things. So if you're talking whole-scale tax reform, it's going to be very difficult to accomplish any of that in a non-fiscal session. However, there are still many administrative things that can be done. And if you look at some of the things that the governor wanted to accomplish and what his what some of the transition councils have recommended, obviously ITEP and streamlining that, you're seeing some of that being done. One of the other big things is really reforming Louisiana Economic Development Department agency. I think that is ripe for this session. There is much talk at the lobby annual that you were at, Brian. Mm-hmm. Secretary Bourgeois was also up there on the stage, and she said they're looking to do a complete makeover reform of LED, make it more conducive to attract businesses. And I do think that you'll begin to see some of the tenets of that this session. There's also some budget reform items that you could potentially accomplish. And then things like centralized sales tax is not off the table. That's an administrative change. That's not increasing a tax or levying a new tax or legislating with respect to certain exemptions. That is trying to streamline our sales tax system, much like we were just talking about ITEP. So those are things that I think could be discussed, but I also think that there will be much discussion in terms of setting the stage for the next fiscal session. We know that both Richard Nelson, the new secretary at LDR, and the governor are very bullish on trying to phase out and eliminate the personal income tax. And I think you're going to start to hear testimony in how our structure works and what are some ways that we can begin to tee that up and educate the public so that when we get to that fiscal session, it may be ripe at that time.
I'm having a hard time not keeping one eye on Richard Nelson just to see how long he can stay under wraps. What is, you know how passionate he is about.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
All right.
And I've visited with him several times. And look, he's going about it the right way. Brian, you know you can't just file some bills right before non-fiscal and want to change the, you know, rock the tax code and do tax reform. It is a process. You have to get out there with the plan very early on. You got to educate legislators, but you've got to do more than that. You've got to educate the public. You've got to educate stakeholders. As you know, Brian, every time you go to make a tax change, particularly with personal income tax that affects everybody, the question is, what does it mean for me, my family, and my personal situation? And we've got to be able to answer those questions.
Secretary Bourgeois from Covington, Richard Nelson from Mandeville, West St. Tammany's taking over, Jason.
They are in the house.
Hey, you don't have to tell this St. Paul's boy about that because I'm here for it. We got about a minute and a half left before we got to get out of here. I got to ask you about insurance in the first half of the session. Had Tim Temple on yesterday. I know they didn't have time to squeeze in a special session on insurance leading up to the regular session, but are we going to see like a mini special as part of the first half of the session?
I think you will, Brian. And look, this is Jason DeClear's opinion, but this is an issue that we have to address. And I think that's one thing that everybody understands. And look, it's a difficult issue to address because, you know, we do have insurance companies that are in the state, and it's made it difficult on a lot of individuals and families to get back on their feet after storms, the process that they have to go through to file claims and to recover and to get rebuilt. I mean, there's no doubt Louisiana is a state. We have so many great things about it, but we do have, you know, a lot of unfortuitous events that happen here. But at the same time, we have to make Louisiana competitive for more insurance companies to come here and write. That's how you lower premiums. That's how you make the market competitive. So we also have to think about making Louisiana a conducive environment for insurance companies to come back to Louisiana. And, you know, I have to throw in a tax piece on everything. One of the things that really rides under the radar that's not talked about a lot is retaliatory taxes, okay? And it's hard for a lot of companies, number one, to be domiciled or located in Louisiana because of the retaliatory tax. If you charge a certain amount here in Louisiana, then other states can retaliate against those insurance companies through a retaliatory tax when they want to write in other places across the country, and that makes it also very uncompetitive for insurance companies to come here. I've had some discussions with the commissioner, and I know he is very passionate about trying to find, you know, the right mix, the right plan, the right balance to try to improve the insurance environment here in Louisiana.
All right, that's where we're going to have to cut it off for today. We'll pick it back up next week. He is Jason DeQueer from Advantis Consulting, going to be bringing you inside the session every Thursday at this time. One more time for that webinar. Give me the website for the webinar.
It's Advantis.com. You can sign up there. It will be tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Very informative. We'll have Secretary Bourgeois as well as their general counsel at LED, Robin Porter. So look forward to you all joining.
Good deal. Jason, we'll talk to you next week, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Brian. Have a good one.
You do the same. 7:31.